All right, I'll invite you to please bow your head with me once again as we just prepare our hearts, quiet ourselves to reflect upon that word. Well, Father, we do thank you again this morning. We thank you for this time to gather together as families, as friends, to hear what you have for us. And we pray that as we stop and reflect upon this passage of Scripture, which for some it's pretty familiar, but we pray that you would speak to us and let it minister to our hearts. Help us to be open to receive it. Help us to focus upon it. And Lord, once again, we pray that as we do so, that you would be at work, transforming our hearts and filling us with hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, let me begin by, first of all, wishing a happy Mother's Day to all you ladies who are out there. And hopefully your families have already told you this, but you're each a great blessing in the lives of your children, in the lives of your spouse, and even our congregation here. So we thank God for you and for everything that you do. Now, from the time that we're young, and this applies across the board, we have a task, a desire, to do something significant. From the time we're young, most of us, we have this internal desire to make a difference in the world. And for this reason, we can set some pretty ambitious goals for ourselves. And this starts very young. You can see this even as you speak to the smallest of children. And all of you have done this. You talk to little kids, and one of the questions we always like to ask them is, what do you want to do when you grow up, right? And every time you ask that of a kid, at least every time I've asked that question of a kid, I have never gotten a response of a very unnoticed job, let me put it that way. Most of the time, the goal that they have set for themselves, again, it's very impressive. Many times, kids will tell you that when they grow up, they want to be the president of the United States, you know, and we know the likelihood of that is small, but they know that in that way, they could make a difference in the world, and that's what they want to do. Some will tell you that they want to be a doctor. Some will tell you that they want to be a teacher. Some might say they want to be a policeman or a fireman. But they want to do something that will enable them to make a difference in the world. They want to do something great. Now, our goals, they do change, of course. They're refined as we grow up. And they begin to mature, I guess, as our interests and our talents become evident. But the bottom line still remains the same. We want to do something significant. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to make a difference in the lives of others, and I think this desire seems pretty universal. And then as we age, this desire is often the cause of what we call the midlife crisis, right? It's that time of life where men go out and they got to get a sports car or a motorcycle, right? And women, I don't know how you deal with it, but anyway, we won't go there. But we have this midlife crisis. We get to that midpoint of our life and we begin to look at ourselves and we begin to wonder what we have accomplished. We look back over the first half of our life and we begin to evaluate it. And quite often as we do so, we determine, we judge that we lack any real accomplishment. We just don't feel that we've done anything all that significant. As we look back, we don't feel that we have made the difference that we have desired to make throughout our lifetime. In fact, we might even come to the conclusion that our presence here in the world has been absolutely meaningless. We may come to the conclusion that our contribution, it wouldn't even be missed had we never been born. And even though we refer to it as a midlife crisis, I think this is a struggle that anybody can have. It's a struggle you can have whether you're young or old. It's a struggle you can have whether you're a man or a woman. However, from what I have seen, this is a struggle that is shared in particular by moms. Because their life has revolved around their kids, because having and raising a family has oftentimes kept them from other ambitions, they just don't feel very significant. Perhaps raising a family has kept them from pursuing the education that they had once desired. Perhaps raising a family has kept them from a stable job. You know, they've worked for a while, they've been off for the kids, they go back. Maybe it's kept them from promotions within their career for the very same reason. And for this reason, they feel that they have done very little. And oftentimes also, and this is especially true of stay-at-home moms, because their days are so monotonous, and because it feels as though they never leave the house, they feel their accomplishments are small. They think their accomplishments amount to nothing more than wiping noses and rear ends, picking up Legos, doing laundry, and preparing meals. And they oftentimes don't even feel like they have their own identity. They don't feel as though people know them for who they truly are. They're known only as the wife of this man or the mom of these kids. And you know, as I read our lesson for today in Exodus 2, this is what stood out to me. If you want to open up your Bible and follow along, because in it, we're reading a short story of a woman's life, or at least a part of her life, and her name isn't even mentioned to us. As we read about her life, she is referred to only as a Levite woman. She's referred to only as a woman who was married to a man from the house of Levi. And we don't even find her name mentioned until a couple of chapters later, and it's not brought up until the genealogy of her son is being brought up. And there we find that her name was Jochebed. Now, as we read through the short story of her life, it was only 10 verses that we looked at here this morning, we read it, and we see she did something very significant. We see that she did a great thing. However, as I read this, as I thought about this, I thought, you know what? I really doubt that her action seemed all that significant in her own eyes. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Now, this woman, she was a slave in Egypt along with the rest of the Israelites. And because the population of Israel was growing so rapidly, the king, he gave an absolutely terrible order. First of all, he told the midwives who served the Israelites that as they were delivering the babies of the Israelite women, they were to kill all of the baby boys who were born to them. The girls could live, the king said, but the boys, they had to die. Now the midwives, they feared God, and for this reason, they did not carry out this command. They lied to the king. They told him that, you know, these Israelite women, they're not wimps like you Egyptian women. You know, they're vigorous, and they often give birth before we even get there. And even though this is not an endorsement of lying in any way, shape, or form, God blessed these midwives for doing this. He blessed them for protecting the lives of the children, and he blessed them by giving them families of their own. Now, seeing that this strategy wasn't working, the king then altered this command a little bit. He commanded his people that every son born to Israel was to be cast into the Nile. So again, every boy that was born to the Israelites, they were to be drowned. But again, the girls would be allowed to live. Now, it was in the midst of this that Jochebed conceived and she bore a son. And our lesson tells us that he was a fine child. Some translations of the Bible will say that he was a beautiful child. Others will say that he was a good child. Now, this isn't referring to the fact that her baby was far from ugly. It doesn't mean that, you know, he was a perfect child who slept through the night without fussing. The word that is used here is the same one used in Genesis 1, where God's creation is spoken of as good. And in this context, it means primarily that this baby was desirable and that he was lovely. And I believe this refers to the fact that Jochebed, just like any other mother, she loved her child. It refers to the fact that she desired her child and that she adored her child. And for this reason, she also was not willing to go along with the king's command. She was not about to throw her baby into the river. And she was not about to let anybody else do it either. So instead, she kept her baby hidden for 3 months. She hid him away, and when it was no longer possible for her to hide him, she did what she could in order to preserve his life. She did what she could to ensure that his life might be spared. And most of you, again, you're familiar with this story. She went and she constructed a little basket, but again, this wasn't an ordinary basket that we think of when that word pops up. The word used here is again the same one used when referring to Noah's ark. So she made this basket and she coated it with bitumen and pitch, and these were tars that made this basket watertight. So she made a basket that would float on the water. She made a basket that would keep out the water and prevent her baby from drowning. And contrary to the picture we're often given in children's Bibles or even when you watch children's movies about this story, she didn't put him in the basket and set him in the river and just let it float downstream. That's not how things happened. Instead, she put him among the reeds by the riverbank, which would prevent him from floating away. And she assigned her daughter to watch him. She assigned her daughter to see what would happen to him. So this woman, she was in no way abandoning her baby. She was not simply deserting him. She was not leaving him to die. She was not merely trying to maintain her innocence when it came to the life of her child. Again, we find that she loved her son dearly, and she had every intention of providing for his safety. And based on her actions, it was clearly her desire that her son would be found. It was clearly her desire that the basket would be found and that the life of her son would be preserved. And she was counting on the fact that the person who found her son would be compelled to have mercy upon him and would not carry out the king's command and dump him into the water. We then see how all of this played out. We're told that the princess, the king's daughter, she came down to the river to bathe, and seeing the basket, she sent her servant over to retrieve it. And when she opened up the basket, there was the baby, and he was crying. Now, we're told that she recognized that this was one of the children of the Israelites, and I'm sure she also knew her father's command that this boy was to be thrown into the river. After all, that's why he had been left there in the first place. But we read, despite her father's command, she took pity upon this child. And then Jochebed's daughter, who had been watching her little brother, she approached the princess. She says, "You know, do you want me to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And the princess told her to go. And so this girl runs off. She brings back her own mother. She brings back this baby's very own mother. The princess then told Jochebed to take the baby and nurse him, and she would be given her wages. So Jochebed was allowed for a time to take care of her own child under the protection of the princess. And not only that, but she was paid to take care of her very own child. I'm sure most of you hear that and say, wow, that would be a great blessing. Most of you would love to be able to take care of your child and actually be paid to do so. But there was also another side to this arrangement, which I'm sure was not her favorite aspect of it. But as he grew, he was taken to the princess, and he became her son. So in other words, her baby boy was adopted by the princess, and this child, as most of you know, is Moses. Now, as I mentioned earlier, when we look back at this story, when you and I look back at it anyways, we see a heroic act, don't we? We see a woman of great faith. We see a woman who defied the king. A woman who defied the king and who did what was right. We see a woman who made a difference. We see a woman who made a difference not only in the life of her son, but by carrying out this act, she made a difference in the world as a whole. And this is what Scripture tells us about her as well. She and her husband are commended for their great faith and held up as an example for the rest of us. And we see this in Hebrews 11, a chapter we often talk about it as, you know, the heroes of the faith. But in that chapter, in verse 23, we read, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict." But again, as I mentioned earlier, looking at this from the mother's perspective, I tend to doubt that she looked upon her actions as great. And I say this because all she did was keep her son alive. And again, I'm not trying to downplay this, but what mother would not do all that she could in order to keep her own child alive, right? It's a very common thing. Even though she was in extraordinary circumstances, her actions, they seem ordinary in a sense. And again, I say this because finding yourselves in her situation, I believe that pretty much all of you women sitting out there this morning, you would have done the exact same thing. You would not want your child to be killed. You would not want your son to be taken and thrown into the river. And so, again, I believe you would do everything you could to protect the lives of your own children. This is what mothers do, isn't it? A mother sacrifices for the sake of her child. And she doesn't think much of it. She tells herself that she's only done her job. She tells herself that she's only done what's necessary. She tells herself that she's only caring for her children. Now, perhaps you think this situation is a little bit different, and it is in a sense. Perhaps you think that it's different because this mother's life was in jeopardy. I mean, it's not a safe thing to ever disobey the command of the king. So, yes, it was risky. It's true that she put her own life on the line in order to save her son. But again, I believe that if you were in Jochebed's shoes, most of you would do the same. You wouldn't allow your child to be killed. And you know how the story plays out. After growing up in the palace, Moses is called by God to lead his people out of Egypt. He's used by God to deliver his people from slavery. He is used by God to fulfill his promise and to bring the people of Israel into the promised land. He's used by God to deliver his word to his people. Moses is one of the greatest figures in the history of Israel. And if you talk to a Jewish person today, they will tell you the same. Moses ranks among the top of the people they look up to and admire. So by her actions then, Jochebed enabled this child to live. And in this way, God used her, and he used her to provide a deliverer to his people. Had she not acted in this way, had she not acted to save the life of her son, it's likely that Moses would have been put to death as an infant. And where then would Israel be, and where would you and I be? Now, many people, they have pointed out the very same thing when it comes to abortion. You know, here in our nation, we have aborted millions of our children ever since it was legalized. Statistics reveal that between 1978 and 1997, there was more than 1 million children aborted here in the United States every single year. And the numbers have dropped a little bit since then. In 2014, which is the most recent statistic I could find, I found that about 653,000 kids were aborted in the U.S. But since 1973, more than 45 million children have been put to death here in our country. That's the same as the population of Spain. It's the same as the population of Argentina. It's a little bit bigger than the population of California. It would be like taking one of these places and killing every one of their citizens. It's just plain and simple, a lot of people. And who knows what these children might have accomplished? You know, some have pointed out that, you know, we might have aborted the child who would have found the cure for cancer. We might have aborted the next great president. We may have killed the next Mozart, the next Einstein, the next Billy Graham. And this is absolutely true. Because we allowed them to be put to death, we have no idea who God created them to be. Because we allowed them to be put to death, we robbed them of the opportunity to share their gifts with the world. We've also denied ourselves of the blessings that they would have been able to provide to us. And oftentimes our tendency is to dismiss this reality, and we dismiss it by saying, well, you know what, even if we did kill the next great scientist who would cure cancer, God can raise up another. And even if we killed the next Billy Graham, God can raise up another. You might argue that we can't stop God's will from being accomplished. And so you might say in the same way that if Jochebed had not saved her son, God could have raised up another deliverer for Israel. And if this is your argument, in a sense, you're right. Because it's absolutely true that we cannot stop God's will from being accomplished. It's true that if Moses died, God could have raised up another deliverer. But this doesn't invalidate my point in any way. It doesn't invalidate the point that Jochebed was used by God, and she was used by him in a tremendous way. It doesn't invalidate the point that no matter how simple and common her actions may be, It was an act that God used to bless countless others over the course of the centuries. It was an act that God used to accomplish God's purpose for his people and even for people now. The simple fact of the matter is that by just doing your job, by just carrying out your vocation, God can use you in tremendous ways. And this applies to each and every one of us, but of course today we're addressing it specifically to moms. By just caring for your kids, by cooking them meals, by changing their diapers, by giving them baths, by picking up their toys, you're doing a great work. God is able to use you even in the small things, and because you faithfully carry out the role of motherhood, God can use your children to carry out great purposes. I think you would all agree that it's fun to watch our kids grow up, isn't it? And some of you have watched them longer than I've watched mine, but it's fun to see what they become. It's fun to see the gifts and the talents that God has given them as they start to develop and as our kids start to use them. And it's always a blessing to see how God is using our children. And it's encouraging to realize that you played a role in it. It's encouraging that God used you not only to bring them into the world, but to care for them and raise them. It's encouraging to realize that God used you to teach them and to set for them an example. And in all of these ways, you have contributed to the blessing that your children are to the world. And so my encouragement to all of you, but especially to the ladies on Mother's Day, is this. Don't ever feel that your role is unimportant. Don't ever think of it as menial. Don't ever think that your role in comparison to others is small. Even the things that we dismiss as unimportant, even the tasks that we dismiss as trivial, they can and they will be used by God. You know, and even if your child doesn't turn out to be a Moses or a Billy Graham or a Mozart, what you are doing, it is a task of importance. You are providing to the world a gift of God that will bless everybody they come into contact with. By simply caring for your children, you are serving God and the world around you. By putting your ambitions on hold and raising a family, you are serving God and blessing the world around you. By sacrificing, even in small ways, for the sake of your children, you are blessing the world around you and you are serving your Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this reality, and it's a reminder that all of us need. Because no matter what we do in life, no matter what task you have appointed for us, whether it's a job, whether it's a role, whether, you know, it's a duty, it is something that you can use to bless everyone around us. And we pray that you would help us to realize that. We pray that you would help us to not simply dismiss the work that we are accomplishing, but help us to take on every task, no matter how small it is, with joy, and help us to take it on faithfully, realizing that you can and you will use our service. You will take and you will use our faithfulness, that your will would be carried out and that the lives of many others would be touched. So again, we thank you and we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this time I'll invite you to please rise and please join with me as we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.